Welcome to the podcast. I'm Joanna Colbert, and you're listening to The Casting Session. I decided to create this podcast out of a desire to help actors feel more confident in their auditions. This podcast is an inside look at filmmaking through the perspective of casting. In these interviews, I'm going to provide you with in-depth, enlightening, fun conversations with the industry's top casting directors, actors, directors, and producers. We're going to cover a range of topics, like the audition process, and the role casting plays in the collaboration with directors, and the overall craft of casting. Basically, we're giving you a behind-the-scenes look into the casting process. So without further ado, I bring you The Casting Session. Welcome to the Casting Session podcast. My guest today is Tracy Twinkie Bird. I am so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Tracy Twinkie Bird is a casting director, a producer, a director, and an author. She's the casting director of Southside With You and Fruitvale Station and many other movies and television shows that you've watched and loved. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're so happy. It's an honor. So this podcast I created to help actors feel more confident. And also I feel like anyone who's listening could benefit from your wisdom. We often start the podcast talking about the audition as what is it? What is an audition? Is it acting? Is it separate from acting?
That's a good question. An opportunity to build relationships. Especially when it's the first time meeting someone, you want to feel them out and, you know, are they hot and cold? Are they, you know, just easygoing? Are they high strung? Are they super low? You learn a lot about a person at the audition.
So when you say relationships, so it is something we talk about often is you're not auditioning for the movie or the TV show necessarily, you're auditioning for that casting director and their office and their body of work to come, right?
Right. Your job is to book the room. That's the way I feel about it. But unfortunately, now folks are so finish line oriented. They're so goal oriented, like they have to get the thing. And you miss out on the journey and all that the journey is teaching you in order for you to be prepared. And then you hear those stories of, I wish someone would have told me, or nobody ever said. And I'm like, well, that was the preparation for the thing that you didn't want to read. You didn't want to read the book. You didn't want to take the steps. You wanted to play that role. You wanted to do that thing. You wanted to be that person. Okay. You played the role. You did the thing. You are the person. Now you find out that you're making scale and you could have made a whole lot more.
So elaborate on that. So how could an actor benefit from framing it a little differently?
I feel we can all benefit from framing it differently in that it is important to look at your vantage point and say, how else can I look at this? What is another way that I can see this situation? How can I, you know, get down, get high up, and flip it around another way in order to see it differently? Because, first of all, that's your job. It's a huge part, a huge chunk of your job as an actor and as an artist to see things differently than the world around you. You have a different vantage point. You don't necessarily see that person as the bad person or the good person. It's the complex, nuanced person. So that's what you're really supposed to be doing. So you need to do it in your life as well. And each journey, if you're looking at benchmarks, so I'm nonlinear, but however, I understand that linear kindergarten, first grade, second grade, that whole thing. And if you look at it from that point of view, each grade that they created, that construct, taught you certain things that help you make sense of the next grade and the next. Or each lesson that you learn helps you to navigate the next lesson and the next thing. So if you skip, what happens to all this space? All of the things that we could be learning that we apply to this moment, you miss out on all that space. So all of those lessons, then you get here and you find out, I don't know. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know. So you can rush. And sometimes it works out for a moment.
Right.
But then it stops because you didn't have the preparation in between. And then you have to go back and get it if your ego will allow you to. If you will push past that ego, you're like, I was a series regular. Why am I going to be a guest star, a co-star? I was a series regular.
Right. So it's like anyone who says, I'm going to come into this office and you're going to make me a star. And I want to be a star, right? And I want to make a lot of money and I want to be on billboards. And you're sort of losing the plot, right?
You know, first of all, when that happens, I don't think you love the art. I feel like you love the end result. You have every right to love the end result, but that's not what this really is. It's so much more. You're touching lives through your art. With your art, you're literally touching people's life. Like they will literally call you, or now they have this thing. So they will text you, tweet you, DM you, ping you, whatever you've got.
TikTok you.
They will TikTok you. They will show their love. Or like for my film, A Gospel Christmas. So I'm looking at the tweets in real time. Me and my cast, we're watching the tweets in real time. And every time something happens in the film, a person says, I have a black angel on the top of my tree. And they show a picture and it's right there right now. I have those tweets. Let me tell you, I saved them all because they mean more to me than any award. Touching lives is the most important thing. Oh, I understand what Olivia meant by, you know, church hurt and how she couldn't sing and finding her voice. I understand, like, there are all these little notes and messages inside the film that literally touch people's lives and they tweet about it. This is why I like this scene. This is why that song meant something to me. When you receive that kind of love and respect and adoration for your project, you realize that that is the most important thing. So there are people that love your work. And it also may help them navigate a situation in their lives that they may not have known how to navigate. Or it may start a conversation and communication with their family. It may start something that a tradition that they never thought that they would have. Like that to me is everything.
So actors, you are to be of service. And remember, that could help in many ways. One way certainly is to reduce your anxiety, to put all this pressure on yourself to be a star. I mean, of course, as Tracy said, there's nothing wrong with being a star, but to really remember the big picture. Why are we really here? And we're here to touch other people's lives and be of service. I mean, I remember I got very sick for a couple months and Will and Grace got me through. Just some reruns, you know, just something that reminded me of an easier time and just actors doing their craft, making me laugh. So it is healing.
It really is.
So, well, you just did A Gospel Christmas. You're the executive producer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's an interesting story because my assistant became my boss. I hired a young man in 2008. Named Michael G. Chin. And he was my assistant on a film called Notorious. And it was about Notorious B.I.G. And Michael was so amazing as an assistant, like just mind blowing, amazing. And I was like, this kid is going to go far. Like he was a young guy and he's going to go. He originally auditioned for my then casting partner. He auditioned for the role. And of course, he's not right for it. But he had the wherewithal in his body and his spirit to be of service and say, how can I help? What can I do? And we were looking for an intern. He interned. Then I bumped him up to assistant and he was amazing. And then when I left to go back to LA, we stayed in touch. He got a job at Alvin Ailey, toured the world 3 or 4 times. He saw the world through them. And then he said, I want to get back into production, Miss Twinkie. And we talked about that. I encouraged him. And he kept telling me his stories. He ended up getting a job at A&E that he applied for and went up the ranks at A&E Lifetime to the point where he was a manager. And there was this project that he wanted to do about something personal about his life and his sister and a little church hurt that they went through as singers and in the church. And he always loved Kirk Franklin's gospel Christmas album. So he wanted to blend and merge the two. Well, I wanted to executive produce, and I introduced him to the director as I was executive producing her project at USC. So I introduced them all, and he said, well, I want you to executive produce this project for me. This is like, you know, 2008 to 2021, relationships, right? Building relationships. He built a relationship and he became my boss. And then he brought this into my life. And he said, here, I want you to do this. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to executive produce it. And thankfully, Tanya Lopez over at A&E, Lifetime, she had started a program that was a shadowing program for EPs and directors. And I was one of them, one of the first. And I went along 6 weeks, watched the film from beginning to end through the editing process, everything. Had an amazing mentor, Manu Boyer, and I learned so much. And the next thing I know, I'm producing this. And it was glorious to take it from beginning to middle to end. It was a lot of work, but now I learned the whole process, how music tells a story. I learned how much I already know. I learned how much I have been giving to people for free on all the films that I have been casting from the ground up. I learned how much I poured into those projects and should have been a producer on them. But I'm thankful that I'm here now and a producer on this, because it means so much to the Black community and it means so much to the gospel community. We got Kirk Franklin, we got Demetria McKinney, Chas Lamar Shepherd, we got Regina Bell, who's, I mean, everyone remembers that song, If I Could. And so that is one of the most amazing songs. She's a Grammy Award winner. She opens my film, and I got to literally sit with my director and create the look, the feel, the vibration of our film down to the wardrobe.
That is so exciting. And doesn't the casting background organically lend itself to producing, knowing talent, and also we're the first person hired and we see everything from day one and have such a creative collaboration with the director when nobody else is around yet?
Yes, it's really great. It's really great to have their undivided attention. You get so spoiled. It's so sweet. It gets so good.
Isn't it? It's just juicy, creative time. And then helping them bring their vision to life.
Yes, I'm doing that right now over the holidays. So I just got the Cardi B movie. It's called Assisted Living. And it was announced, and my director's name is Tembi Banks. And she and I worked together at SC. Again, I did her thesis project that she wrote called Only Light. And we have been inseparable ever since. And I get a chance to work with her again.
Are you going to have to cast someone to play Cardi, or she's in it?
No. Cardi's in it. Yeah. It's not the story of her life or anything. It's kind of like a sister act in that way, but it also has a little Mrs. Doubtfire in it and maybe the associate.
Oh, wow. Cool. Someone just reminded me of the movie FM. You remember that one?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. FM. Wait, I got to look that one up. FM, I'm sure I know. I gotta look that one up.
And Beach Street?
Beach Street was amazing. Ugh, Can't Buy Me Love holds up. They keep doing a reiteration of it. Like, you know, I've seen it in other movies, Lifetime and Hallmark, kind of like the spoiled rich girl who messes up mommy's car, and then the little nerdy guy that has $1,500 in his pocket. Like, if you could just make me popular for a couple of days. So cute. That's a cute premise.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that's a thing, how to be popular.
I mean, you can do that movie again.
Right, with TikTok.
With social media, yeah. Somebody will probably hear this and start writing. I better write it first before you put this out.
Yeah, I'll tell my producer to hold off on that until...
Thankfully, I have some writer friends that can get it in the can real quick. Like, let's just do a Can't Buy Me Love with a girl who's successful on TikTok and guy who wants to be like followed.
Love it.
Boom.
Done.
A whole movie.
So you've been really busy and you're taking everything that you've learned as a casting director and bringing it into your work now. And tell us about the book that you wrote.
Ooh, Channeling Becky. It's my dating book. It's literally about channeling your inner feminine energy. And a lot of times when you're in business, you're not feminine energy, you're masculine because you're doing so much. You're doing and thinking and you're wanting and you're needing. And it's just all masculine energy and you just don't know how to stop it. Or at least I didn't know how to stop it. So every relationship I had ended in 2 years or less. And I got to an age and to a time where my most recent breakup, then I had a breakdown and then a breakthrough and met an amazing therapist, Dr. Pat Allen. She used to do these events at the Odyssey Theater on Sepulveda.
Right. I know her. I know who she is. Okay.
And I went to her and I was in a group, and all the while that I was in the group and practicing what she was teaching us and everything and answering the questions and doing all of that. And she'd give us audio tape so that we can practice on the way home. I would be driving and listening to all this stuff. Look good, feel good, smell good, taste good, sound good. That's a woman's job. Never pull out your wallet. You know, all of those things. And I'm like, but I like to go Dutch. No Dutch. Put your wallet back in your purse because you are the prize. Your smile is the thank you. And that is all they need. Okay. Got it. I had to just, you know, stop doing too much and wanting too much and filling up the space and talking so much.
So can't we make an analogy? Well, first of all, everybody read the book. And then can't we make an analogy that we've made on the show before about dating and auditioning? Like, you don't want to come to your first audition with a ring and a tuxedo or like a white dress or whatever dress, right? Just give someone a sense of who you are, and that's enough, and you're enough, and your essence is enough.
Yes, that's all they need. It's a date.
Yes.
A little coffee, a little nosh, a little talk, a little chat.
Look how you're helping me organically segue into every part of my show. So what is your morning ritual, or what is your coffee and tea ritual, if you have one?
Okay, morning ritual is meditation. So, and my meditation is on my phone. So I go to my app, my Chopra app, and I pull it up and I do my meditation. And, of course, take my braces off and my Invisalign and get my day started. Like, have my cup of Earl Grey tea with the oat milk or almond milk or cashew milk, whichever works, or sometimes coconut milk. And then I like to go for a walk. I like to do my walks at least 3 times a week. I'm working my lips 5 times a week, but I like to go for a walk in the park and enjoy nature. And then, of course, I have to check the phone and the emails and all that other stuff. But in the morning, I like to do the meditation. It really sets the tone.
Well, I just did an interview with Jennifer Beals. Elizabeth and I did the meditation class with her.
Really?
He and I have a dear friend in common. Shout out to Elizabeth Hunter Walker Perlman. And Jennifer says that actors can actually do like an open eye meditation in the waiting room.
Here's what I realized when I started meditating. It took me a while to be able to shut everything out. The time that it took for me to quiet my mind, it took like about a month to get into a space where I was doing it every day. Well, like the 21-day meditation, it took those days to quiet my mind. And then you get to a point where when you're meditating so much that you can just shut it off like that. And it gets so sweet that sometimes you just want to stay there.
But it's true. It's why it's called a practice, because you practice and you practice and you practice and you practice. And then one day you realize, oh, I can access this in the DMV line and I can do it in the audition. Because those things, it's not about living a life of never being upset or never being in chaos, but what tools can we use to navigate the chaos?
Right. Oh, it's great navigation.
Yeah. So I love that. Earl Grey tea. All right.
Yeah, I'm an Earl Grey girl. You know, I started with an English breakfast. My mother likes English breakfast. And then I wanted something a little deeper and even more earthy. And that oil of bergamot, that Earl Grey, I tasted it and I was like, this is the one for me.
I like oolong.
That's another one. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's, whew, I love tea. I could do passion. I just love tea. So white tea, green tea, I just love tea. And sometimes it's tea with honey and the specific types of honey. I mean, I've become a connoisseur of all things hot, liquidy. Like, I really love tea.
Justine Badley Arteta, casting director, was on the show. She's from England. So she and her casting office have like tea time. And she teaches them how to do it correctly. And
that's very interesting. I love that. I love that. I want to do tea with Indian people because they drink a lot of tea, but there's a specific way that it's poured to cool it and how it tastes. And yeah, I want to learn more. I want to learn more about tea, actually. So yeah, that's my morning ritual.
Meditation and tea. All right. I think you just started a whole lot of new rituals for people out there.
We'll see.
And how did you get started in this business? Where are you from?
I am from Brooklyn, New York. I got started casting music videos in the 1990s. And if anyone visits my Instagram, sometimes I will do a Throwback Thursday where and I say my little tagline is when music videos were short films to music, because they were and they are. And we told a lot of stories then in the music video realm, and they were short films. A lot of times they were shot for 3 or 4 or 5 days. I remember Michael Jackson's music videos being shot for weeks and weeks at a time with directors like John Landis and John Singleton. He was one of my mentors. John Singleton did Remember the Time. And we knew we were creating art, but we didn't know that we created a culture. The era makes me very emotional. I just watched the Video Music Box documentary yesterday about Ralph McDaniels and the channel that he used, a public broadcasting channel in New York, to create a music video show called Video Music Box. And all of the artists that he interviewed and all of the people that he interviewed and all of the music videos that he played before MTV even created Yo MTV Raps. And before MTV would showcase films on Black people, short films to music on Black people, Black artists, Ralph McDaniels was doing that. And I had a small part in that because I was casting a lot of those music videos for so many artists. Like, I was casting Mary J. Blige music videos before she was an actress. She was a singer and a recording artist. I would cast Biggie music videos. That's kind of how I got the job, because I used to cast his music videos when I was, you know, in my beginning. And so many rappers and so many singers, and they all wanted a music video that was telling the story either of what they were singing or their favorite movie. You can go back and look at a music video of Jay-Z's where he recreated Usual Suspects.
Whoa. It
was the Kevin Spacey character.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. You can go back and look at music videos where we recreated Scarface or The Godfather. Blues Traveler.
Oh yeah.
I did their first music video and it was an urban take on The Wizard of Oz. Why You Wanna Give Me the Runaround? That song, Runaround. That music video was huge. I did a music video called I Got a Man, my brother directed, with Positive K. And it was the story about a guy changing himself for each different girl that he wanted to date. And they all said, I got a man. And he's like, what's your man got to do with me? It was the athletic girl, the neighborhood round the way girl, and the businesswoman. And so that's what we were doing.
Wow.
That's the audacity and the tenacity that we had. That is the creativity that we come from. Watching that documentary gave me tears in my eyes because we are genius. And I am just in awe of us and how little was given to us and how much we made from so little. and listening to that genius somewhere inside of us, our connection, listening to that genius, listening to that, well, go do that thing. Well, if you said you want to, did you see that opening? Remember meeting that person? Try calling him or her. Remember when you talked about that thing? This is the thing you were talking about. Pay more attention in class, or pay more attention when you get that internship. Ask this question. That connection, it's everything, because the path is set right before you. But a lot of times you're not recognizing the pavers because you're so busy. Like, I want to go there. I want to get here. I want to get, but wait, that paver right there is supposed to teach you that thing. Then it's going to teach you that next thing. That's then going to show you that door. And then I moved to Los Angeles. My brother flew me out to Los Angeles to cast a music video for H-Town. And he did an homage to Can You Feel It? So we did two music videos, and then I co-produced a documentary on them. And that moved me to LA. And once I got here, I realized I didn't want to go back. And I realized all the connections and the relationships that I made with directors, Tim Story, Brett Ratner, Mary Lambert, all the different directors that I had worked for were in LA and they were working. So I said, it's time to reconnect. Let's reconnect and see what we can co-create together. And that's how we got started. And I just kept going and going from there, from short films to music to short films with dialogue to feature films with dialogue, you know? So.
Well, this was the most wonderful interview and so much gold for our audience.
Thank you so much.
Yes, honestly, this was such a pleasure. So everybody, take all of this wisdom and bring it to your days.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you for listening today. I hope you found the episode enlightening. It's really my true desire to share a unique perspective on the casting process and help you feel more confident and inspired. The podcast is available on Anchor and Spotify. For new episode updates, you can follow the show on Instagram at The Casting Session. Please feel free to share this with your friends and write a review. And tune in next week for more behind-the-scenes gold. I'm Joanna Colbert, and I'll see you at the next casting session.